You are listening to the place where good ideas go to die. This is the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Put that down.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. I'm one of the people to whom they refer to in the title. Sit back, relax. I'll take it from here. For once in your life, just sit down and shut up. Come on, let's go. Do everything else sitting down. You might as well do this one sitting down. I'm going to be with you for half an hour. That's a threat, to be honest with you. It won't be that bad. I swear it won't be that bad. Not as bad as you think it's going to be. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right. Okay. All right. All right. Listen. Let's just cut to it, okay? Eclipse. Enough. We're excited about it. I don't know who's making money off of this other than the people that make those little paper eclipse glasses. But other than that, this is like typical American overboard. Now, I'm not saying that this is not an exciting event, because it is for many. But like anything else that Americans go through, all right, that's enough. When something happens or talked about, very quickly it becomes too much. Okay, I get it. Enough. And that's where I am with this eclipse thing. I don't know about you. So let's go to it. I have an expert coming up a little bit later in the program who's written a book called American Eclipse. He's done more research than Google has. And that's a lot of research. And he's going to tell us exactly what to expect, exactly what's going to happen. And as if you don't know this already, it's been pounded into your brain. It's like brainwashing or something. But it will occur on Monday. Now, here's the thing. And this is a new development. And I hate to bust your bubble because bubble busting is not my thing. The weather report for Monday, April 8th, the day of the eclipse in the afternoon, is not good for most of the country. Uh-oh, after all this hype, maybe I won't be able to see much of anything. Sure, with a lot of cloud cover, it'll get dark during the total eclipse if you're in that path, but you won't be able to see it necessarily. Depends on how thick the clouds are, and in many areas in this path of eclipse, cloud cover is forecast now to be quite extreme. The lovely state of Texas, where guns are legal and you can wear them on your face if you'd like to. You don't have to conceal them. You can even flash them. I don't know what they do down there. They're nuts. But anyway, rootin' tootin' Texas, you may not see much of anything. Cloud cover, a lot of it. And as this path goes northward through the center of the country, the heartland, the Arkansas, all those people, cloud cover, pretty heavy. The higher north you go, the less cloud cover. But for this path, this narrow path running across the country going north, cloud cover on your eclipse, big hype day. Now, if you live in the extreme northeast, starting around, I would say, the lakes region of New York, when you get into northern Massachusetts, Vermont, that area, clear skies like you wouldn't believe, and that's the jackpot location to view the eclipse. If you live northern Vermont, northern New Hampshire, northern Maine, New York State, up near the Mass and Vermont border, you're going to have a clear shot of this thing, and it could be spectacular for you. As I said on that Seinfeld episode, when the lady got her boobs enhanced and Jerry asked if they were real, and she said, yeah, they're real and they're spectacular. That's what's going to happen for the northern sector of this swatch of eclipse. Again, otherwise, unfortunately, cloud cover, busting your bubble, street lights might flicker on, but you won't know why at that point. The best spot to watch the eclipse for 90% of these eclipse watchers in that path, probably on television. So there you go. And all the major networks, and especially the CNNs, the MSNBCs, the Fox, if they still have that, will be doing this in-depth coverage as if you haven't gotten in-depth enough about it. Anyway, that's it. A warning to everybody, as I've said a few days ago, they have these little paper glasses and sometimes they're a little plastic, I don't know. A lot of them are cheap and no good. If you stare into the sun wearing this stuff, goodbye eyes. I mean it. Goodbye eyes. That is very, very bad for your eyesight. Don't fuck with that. If you have these eclipse glasses and you put them on and you say, I can't see a damn thing with these glasses on, they're so dark, I can't, even when I stare into a light bulb, I can't even see the light bulb. Those are probably good glasses. Just be damn careful with this stuff. Seriously, be damn careful with your eyes. This is not worth losing your eyesight. And you could. All right. So that's the story. That's the big headline that I have for you today. Unfortunately, cloud cover for almost 90% of this path of eclipse. Lucky people, clear skies, beautiful day, bright sun, which is what you want. In the northern part of this thing, Vermont, New Hampshire, Maine, upper tip of New York State, Lake George area, that kind of thing. You're good. You're good. Otherwise, you may not be, probably won't. With the cloud cover, if you stare into the sky, you might just see the cloud where all your files are held in the cloud. That's what they tell me. Ron, you know, you want to put all your information in the cloud. Okay. I don't know which cloud it is, though. And isn't the cloud a little bit like too accessible to everybody? I don't understand. And what if it rains? Does my information come raining down, all my passwords? I don't understand the cloud concept. You could have come up with like, yes, your passwords, you can download them to the safe. That would be good. Psychologically, that would be a better thing to call it. No, download all your important stuff to the cloud. The cloud. I've flown through clouds in airplanes as a passenger, and you go right through them. That's no place to keep your information and your security stuff. In a cloud with no floor? What are you talking about? Bad idea. That's where good ideas go to die. Maybe you geeks came up with a nice little information system, but that's about it. You know, when you start calling secure places clouds, I think you're going in the wrong direction. You're not making me feel secure with that stuff. Oh, it's in the cloud. Oh, great. No access to it. And look at it. Now it's puffy. Now it's a cirrus cloud. Where's all my information? And how do I get into the cloud? It's all the way up there. This is stupid. It's just a stupid concept. Anyway, back to the eclipse. The thesis of this whole conversation is the fact, indeed, that everything's overdone. Everything is just pounded into your head. Overdone, 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 overdone. Yeah. I don't know about you, but I've had it with most things. You know, you tell me about something, you can remind me every once in a while, but pounding it into my head is not a pretty picture and I don't appreciate it. And the more pounding into your head, my head, or your head, that is being done, the less I like it. It's like brainwashing, you know? Shut up. Just shut up. Shut up. I get it. I'm not stupid. Here's the problem. Come a little closer to the speaker. Here's the problem with humanity here, and Americans specifically. We don't get it until it is pounded into our heads. What's wrong with us? Why can't we just hear something maybe once, twice, maybe three times and say, okay, got it? But we don't do that. We invite the pounding. Here, tell me again. I forgot. Tell me again. I'm so busy. Tell me again. We're so busy. We've got so much to do. We're so busy. So busy doing nothing. So busy sitting on our ass. We're so busy. I don't have time for that. Well, what are you doing? I'm sitting on my ass for a couple of hours. I don't have time for that. And then you have these people that project that they're so busy that they ask you to remind them. That's always a good look. You know, I am so fucked up, I can't remember a damn thing. It's now your responsibility to remind me. Oh, no, I did not sign up for that. I'm sorry, remind yourself. Here's an idea. Get a pen. These are writing implements, in case you forgot. Get a pen and a piece of paper and write it down. I don't do that. That's archaic. Oh, so I have to remind you? That's better. No. Bad idea. All these bad ideas. I come from a different generation. I was born in the 12th century BC. Before Christ. You know, before Christ, we didn't even, the years were different. Then Christ comes along, we start naming them like now it's year one. Wow. That's a big influence on people. When a person, and apparently it was a living person, actually is so powerful that now they start say, okay, before this guy, there were no years at all. Let's start naming them brand new. This is year one now. Wow, that's powerful. That's a powerful thing. No wonder why Christ is mentioned so many times in the church services. Change the calendars. Anyway, I'm an archaic kind of guy, and usually, and you'll find this true, kids, if you're the younger generation, Generation P. Again, Generation P is actually what I'm from, because that's what I do in the middle of the night, 3 o'clock. It's P. So I should be Generation P, not you. But you newer generations, you will find that when you grow older, and you will, if you're lucky, you will find that you will cling on, not in the Star Trek sense, but you will cling on to the memories that you have when things were a lot easier. You will cling on to them. I guarantee you, you will say that to yourself. I put any amount of money on it. I'm not a betting guy, so I'm not doing that. I'm just saying that's done for theatrical purposes. I'm telling you, you will think about when you were growing up, and you will embrace that and say things were better back then when they were simpler. You'll say that no matter how old you are, no matter what generation you're from. Guaranteed in writing. When I wanted to remember something, I wrote it down. Oh, it worked. But now we don't do that anymore. We don't write things down. I'll tell you a quick story about my mother because I know you don't care. She wasn't your mother. She was my mother. Maybe you had a mother that did a similar thing. If that wasn't the case, this is going to mean nothing to you. But here's what happened. When my mother got older, she started writing everything down. And I would tell her something here's a light switch. You flick it on, the lights come on. You flick it off, and the lights go off. And for me, when I was younger, you would think that my mother would say, okay, got it. But no, she didn't do that. She says, all right, wait a minute. I got to get a pen. I got to write this down. Excuse me? Yeah, I got to get a pen. I got to write this down. All right, so you flick the switch up and the lights go on. Is that what you said? And then you return the switch down to the lower position, and that turns the lights off. Let me write this down. Hold on, please. Wait a minute. up, put the switch up, lights go on, put the switch down, and the lights go off. Okay, I got it written down. Oh my God, Mom, are you becoming forgetful? No, I'm from a generation where we wrote everything down. Wow. Okay. I'll respect that. I respect that. It's the old story. I'm getting off of the eclipse subject, and that was supposed to be the thesis of today's show. But anyway, I respect that. I respect that. I really do. I respect all that stuff because that's what happens. You know the other thing we say when we get older? You know, your parents always tell you, don't do that, don't do that. And this is what's going to happen when you get older, and this is what's going to happen. And as a kid, you go, no, shut up. You don't tell me what's going to happen. And then you get older, and all of a sudden, you're acting like your parents, and you say to yourself, maybe not out loud, but you say to yourself, wow, my parents were right. That really does happen. They were right about something. They were right about a lot of stuff. Not because they were incredibly intelligent, but because they had been through it before. They had been through it before. They knew what they were doing because they had been through it before. Which is why I'm voting for Biden, by the way. You vote for who you want, but I'm just saying. Anyway. Because he's been through it before, and I appreciate that. If you're going to start commandeering the country that I live in, you best not make a lot of mistakes, and I want experience up the ass from you. I want the best experience I can find. I want someone who's been through it, knows what they're doing, got through it, learned the lesson. That's the person I want at the helm of the boat. I'll enjoy the cruise. I'll sit back and have my cocktails and look at the pretty scenery of the water. But steering a boat, I want somebody who knows how to steer a boat. Thank you. Not thinks they know how to steer a boat, but have done other things. But so therefore, I can steer a boat. No, not you. I want the person that actually steered the boat. That's who I wanted to helm. Behind the big wheel. Okay, way off the subject of eclipses. Way off. I'm not even in that swatch anymore. Okay, my guest is going to join us momentarily. We're going to learn everything about the eclipse that we've wanted to learn, as if you didn't learn it already from some other source. Or you probably have. I'm not saying that you didn't. Who knows? Anyway, are you ready? Okay. First commercial break so you can get some things done around the house. You're going to need this information, and then we'll talk to our guest about our American eclipse coming up. Such it is with weather, may not be great for many. But right now, first, there's this.
This episode of The Ron Van Dam Show is brought to you in part by Gary. You know him, you love him, it's Gary. Looking for a little help around the house? Give Gary a call. Painting, gutter repair, maintenance, Gary's your guy. Looking for a classically trained violinist? That's Gary. Does your kid's birthday party need a juggling magic clown? Gary's on his way. Can't perfect that chocolate souffle? Here comes Chef Gary. Tricky algebra problem got you stumped? Gary has the answer. Need a spleen donor in a hurry? Get Gary on the line. Want to start, continue, or complete your ninja training? Gary is here to help. Still wondering who murdered your rich uncle and why? Put Detective Gary on the case. Need an ancient Sumerian text translated? Give it to Gary. Trouble trimming your bonsai tree properly? Gary and his clippers are headed your way. Spouse unsatisfied in the bedroom? You could use a little Gary. Brought down a wild boar with a bow and arrow and need it expertly butchered? Sounds like a job for Gary. Need a rival bumped off? Gary knows a guy who knows a guy. Looking for a drag queen in a hurry? Gary's ready to sashay on over. Constipation? Time for Gary. Need a flamethrower for reasons you'd rather not discuss? Whoosh, Gary's got one. Thinking that maybe some unnecessary surgery is just what you need? Gary's removed more kidneys in a weekend than most doctors do all year. Wondering whatever became of your high school girlfriend? Gary knows right where the Witness Protection Program put her, and he has her number. Whatever you need, whenever you need it, and for whatever reason, you know who you go to. It's Gary. Gary is available 24/7 in all 48 contiguous U.S. states and by special arrangement for requests in Alaska, the U.S. Virgin Islands, Puerto Rico, and Guam. Contacting Gary does not constitute a legally binding agreement or contract, and Gary cannot be held liable for any damages that occur in the course of fulfilling the request. Gary does not openly accept monetary compensation, although such compensation will be accepted if offered, and the acceptance of said compensation does not constitute a legally binding agreement or contract. Any arrangement with Gary will be considered null and void if you ever ask what his last name is.
David Baron joins us now. He's penned an interesting novel called American Eclipse, A Nation's Epic Race to Catch the Shadow of the Moon and Win the Glory of the World. Long title, good book. Thanks for being with us today, David.
Hey, thanks so much, Ron.
Tell me, the book takes place, first of all, for those that may be interested, it's kind of a historical, fun kind of nod, and also maybe truthful, maybe not. It's a little bit of everything is what I see.
Well, it actually is all truthful, although I wrote it in the style of a novel, so uh-huh. I appreciate you saying it's meant to be an easy, quick read, but it's the true story of a total solar eclipse that crossed America's Wild West in 1878 and attracted many of the era's great scientists out to the West. Thomas Edison in 1878 was in Wyoming among gunslingers and saloons for this 3-minute event when the moon went in front of the sun. It went dark in the daytime, but total eclipses back then were very important for science, and they were also just a really big deal to witness, as is true today, and as will happen in just a short time from now.
Yeah, next week in various parts of the country, usually not the part of the country that you live in or anybody does, but actually it's running through Texas, and it's quite populated. And that's happening. A foreshadowing, pun quote unquote, of the event.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I wrote the book. The book originally came out in 2017, right before, some of your listeners may remember, a total solar eclipse crossed the country from Oregon to South Carolina. Yep. The book's just been reissued in anticipation of the eclipse on April 8th of this year. This time, to see it as a total eclipse, as opposed to a partial eclipse, you have to be along this 100-mile-wide path that goes from Texas to Maine. It goes across a very populated part of the country. 30 million people live in the path of the total eclipse. Half the U.S. population lives within a day's drive, and I see it as my responsibility to convince as many people as possible, including you and your listeners, on April 8th to get inside that path, because a total solar eclipse is the most awe-inspiring sight in all of nature, and a partial eclipse isn't even a millionth as good.
Now, let's just, before we get into the book, what actually happens during a total eclipse for those that may not be familiar? Things just change like dramatically. Tell us what happens.
Right. So a solar eclipse of any sort, a partial or a total eclipse, occurs when the moon in the daytime moves in front of the sun. And probably most of you have seen a partial eclipse. If the moon covers part of the sun becomes a crescent in the sky like a crescent moon. You can't look at it with the naked eye without damaging your vision. But if you wear eclipse glasses, the sun will become an interesting crescent. However, during a partial eclipse, it doesn't get dark in the daytime. It's, you know, basically it's just an interesting thing to look at with eye protection. But a total eclipse is fundamentally different. If you're in that zone where the moon completely covers the sun, as soon as it goes from a 99% partial eclipse to a 100% total eclipse, it goes dark in the daytime. Not like midnight, but like twilight. You're suddenly in this, it's like you've been transported to another planet. You're looking into a sky where it's twilight overhead, but orange on the horizon all around you. It's like a 360-degree sunset. And you will then, with the naked eye during the total eclipse, actually get to see the sun. The bright surface is covered by the moon, but you will see the sun's outer atmosphere. It's called the solar corona. And I tell you, it's the most dazzling sight in the heavens. It looks like a wreath or a crown woven out of tinsel. It just shimmers in outer space. And you can see it and the planets together. So you are literally, with the naked eye, looking at the center of the solar system, seeing the planets as they orbit the sun. It's you're suddenly just transported to another dimension. It really is. It's beautiful, it's awe-inspiring, and it's addictive, which is why I chase total eclipses around the globe. I've seen 8 of them on 5 continents, so the one on April 8th will be my 9th.
There must have been a time in our history when human beings, such as they may have been back then, would look up at a total eclipse of the sun and think that either the world was going to end or God was going to come collect taxes or something was going to happen. I mean, that was like, they didn't really understand it, did they?
Of course, yeah. I mean, there's a story in history. In the 6th century BC, there was a long-running war in Asia Minor, going on for 6 years. And in the middle of the day, suddenly the sun went away, and the warring parties decided this was a sign from heaven that they had better lay down their arms. But as recently as in 1878, so the eclipse I write about in my book, American Eclipse, which was not that long ago. I mean, at that time, scientists knew how to predict eclipses. They understood what was happening. You could read the newspapers all about the coming eclipse. But there were people, particularly in Texas, who had not been reading the papers. And they were out in their farm fields on a July afternoon when suddenly it went dark. And they look up in the sky, the sun is gone, and they see this heavenly crown. And they were convinced that it was Judgment Day, that this was Christ returning. They fell to their knees in prayer. They ran to church. And as I write in my book, a tragedy occurred as well, where, I mean, that's a true story. In 1878, a young father decided he wasn't going to stick around for Judgment Day, and he decided he was going to take his young son with him. He kills his son. He kills himself so that all because of a total eclipse.
Lesson learned, read the paper.
Yeah, right.
So this would be a peer into people's lives during that event as to how that affected them and how they what happened during that event for them.
Well, it's just, I mean, I loved learning about the eclipse of 1878 because it's just, I mean, here it is. It's the beginning of the Gilded Age in the eastern United States. It's the Wild West out west. This was a merging of these two fascinating eras, with all these Gilded Age scientists finding themselves out in the rugged West for this event. And my favorite character, actually, again, these are real people, was America's most famous female scientist in America in the 19th century. Her name was Mariah Mitchell. She taught astronomy at Vassar College, which was a new all-women's college in Poughkeepsie, New York. In 1878, when there were these groups of male scientists assembling so-called eclipse expeditions out to the Wild West, bringing their telescopes and other equipment so that they could study the sun during those few minutes when the moon blocked its surface, Mariah Mitchell took it upon herself to put together an all-female expedition to Denver, Colorado, to prove to the world that women could do science, that women were themselves rugged, when, as you can imagine, that went very much against stereotype. But it's just a wonderful story about the early days of science in America, when America was looked down upon by the Europeans as not a very intellectual nation. This eclipse was our chance to show the world that we were equal to Europe.
Wow. I'll ask you personally, are you going to travel to see this particular event yourself? Because that's not passing through your area.
Goodness, yes, absolutely. So I don't, if at all possible, I never miss a total eclipse. I mean, they are, if you wait for one to come to you, you're going to be waiting a long time, because any given point on Earth sees a total eclipse about once every 400 years.
Okay.
And indeed, I've looked into it. The next total eclipse that will go over my house in Boulder, Colorado, won't be until the year 2772.
Oh, give me a call.
Yeah, right. So I travel. I will be in Texas. I'm going to be in Waco, Texas, which sits in that path that you need to be in to see it as a total eclipse.
Wow.
And another reason I'm going to Waco.
Yeah.
My book about the 1878 eclipse has actually been turned into a musical by some Broadway producers.
Oh.
And it's going to see its world premiere in Waco on April the 7th at Baylor University. There are some Broadway performers coming down. The students at Baylor are going to be in the chorus. So it's just a real thrill for me as well.
Wow. Wasn't there some kind of weird event that took place in Waco? As I recall.
There was, yes. I think that you're dating yourself. Those of our generation think of Waco that way.
Yeah.
But Waco is more different than the Branch Davidians.
Okay, yeah. Right. Wow. All right, the book's available everywhere, I guess always has been, but this is a especially opportune time, and even after the eclipse, it's going to bring it all to light, so to speak.
Yes, and the website for my book, I also have information about the eclipse on April 8th of this year for anyone who might decide that they really want to get inside that path, and again, I would encourage people to do it. So the website is American-Eclipse.com, and I have a page all about the April 8th, 2024 eclipse, as well as, of course, about my book.
Wow. Okay, it's kind of like the perfect storm coming together for certain parts of the country here, for a narrow strip across the country.
And so for you in Massachusetts, you could drive up to Burlington, Vermont, or drive west to Rochester, New York. Make it an adventure. It's going to be crowded. It's going to be crazy traffic, but it's going to be worth it if the skies are clear. So, keep an eye on the forecast.
Ah, yes.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Yeah, to see a total eclipse under cloudy skies is not ideal. You want clear skies.
Oh, and a little too early to forecast that.
Right.
Mm. Yeah, we get the insurance on the hotel room, the cancellation insurance. All right. And also the airline, Dave. Okay. One more time, the website, because people might want to follow you from this point on anyway.
Yeah, sure. So it's American-Eclipse.com.
Beautiful. He's David Barron. Thank you so much for your time today. It's been fascinating.
Thanks, Ron. I hope you'll go see the eclipse.
Okay. There you go. All right, enjoy. I'll be back again on Monday with a brand new program, but until that time arrives, I wish you peace.